This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How you doing? It is the Luke and Pete Show. It is a Monday. Pinch Punch, first of the month. It is the 1st of June. I'm the Pete's part of the equation. Fraction that is the Luke is going to say hello now.
And it is an equation, a very simple one, but an equation nonetheless.
It is. How you doing, Luke? All right?
Pretty good. Yeah, not too bad. Summer's now officially here, really, in my mind. I know summer, I think, officially starts at the summer solstice, does it? Which is around the kind of mid to end of June. But for me, you're looking at someone, you're talking to someone who's very, very careful out in the sun. So my big...
Very pagan.
Yeah, my big power months... For the summer, June, July, August. So we're now in the thick of it, in my opinion.
Right, okay. Are you wearing your factor 75? What's the highest factor you can go up to?
I mean, I don't go... Yeah, I mean, I think the highest you can go is factor 50. I think there's been studies done that said that after kind of factor 30, it's a bit much of a much as anyway. But key thing is to get your UVA and your UVB screening on the bottle. It needs to have both of those. Otherwise, you're still going to get some damage from the sun. But, I mean, I'm not wearing any at the moment, Pete, because I'm sat in my house and I have to wear sun cream in the house. But I do use a factor 50 as part of my facial moisturizer, Pete, if you'd like to know.
Mm. Well, we did start just before we came on. Probably something we probably should have wasted at least 5 minutes on the Luke and Pete Show was why the Japanese have paper walls. And you said that it was due to the lack of glass. And I sort of said, I don't know. And we've come to some sort of agreement where we sort of go, it's probably something to do with light, because it kind of lets a lovely diffused light into the house at a time where you don't really have windows. So I think you're probably right on that one. Look, I've come right round to it.
I read something ages ago that said that the order in which certain materials in kind of pre-modern societies in Europe and the Far East, the order in which certain materials were discovered and developed was different in the Far East than it was in Europe, which then meant certain things. Like, I think, for example, the study, glass was used widely in pre-modern Europe, I believe, because of the worshipping because of the Christian faith and because of the prevalence of like stained glass and all that kind of stuff. That's what it was used for. Yeah. It took off in a big way because people were using it a lot in religious buildings. That wasn't the case in the Far East. I'm pretty sure they were using wooden things, like wooden sculptures and stuff to worship their relative deities. So there's definitely something to do with the propensity for Europe to have a lot more glass than the Far East. I'd love someone to tell me, because as ever, I am taking a half-baked theory, pretending I know something about it, when really I'm sort of scratching around on my hands and knees in the dark, looking for any kind of clue to knowledge.
That's what we're all about. We're all about the half-cocked and the half-baked. That's what I love about this show. Mm. We go in, we take no prisoners, and we bring no facts. That's the way.
Leave your facts at the door, baby. There ain't no room for them inside this house.
Leave your research at the door. This isn't QI, yeah. Prick.
What I will say QI. Is what I said to you earlier, Pete. Have you ever seen a greenhouse in Japan?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay, fair enough.
So they made some delicious tomatoes.
Yeah.
What I'm doing at the moment is, maybe I'll have a crack at playing it on the Thursday show. I got for my birthday, given to me by a good lady friend, a theremin.
And oh yeah,
this theremin arrived from Chicago, I believe. A man who refused to say that the theremin had been posted because first he said the reason why it's late is because of COVID, and you should have more respect for the people who are dying of the disease. When a cursory check a few days later, whether it was going to arrive in time for my birthday, he came up with he sort of repeated that that it's all about COVID and you should respect the people who have died. And then he brought up the in the same email that his parent or one of his parents had died of COVID. I'm not saying he's talking nonsense, but I would bring up the parent bit if I was going to try and get one over on someone before the, you know, the postal workers and the random people that he doesn't know. So yeah. I'm not saying this theremin creator is a liar. I'm just saying there's a very good chance that he is a liar.
Well, the joke's on him because I believe theremin manufacturers are key workers. So he should still be going
should
to
be
work.
Delivering. Yeah. Should be delivering.
So have you received
it? It's a lovely bit of work. I've received it. It's like a, he's used a lot of hot snot, which is like a kind of a glue that I think is non-electrically conductive. So you can basically just get away with doing some fast and loose soldering. He's used a lot of hot snot, so I'm hoping it's going to work. It seems to be in full working order, but maybe we'll hear on Thursday.
Yeah, I like a theremin because you can't properly tell whether someone is making the noise with their mouth or not, or whether it's actually really happening. And I actually maybe I'll find something for Thursday, which is a guy I found online who can do the best impression of a car horn I've ever seen with his mouth.
Oh, he's brilliant.
I'll try and find him.
He just sounds so good.
By the way, Pete, speaking of online videos and stuff, I'm just making a note of this car horn guy. Speaking of online video, so when big things happen, and I don't propose we get into all the stuff that's going around the world at the moment because this is a little vacation from that. But one universal truth is that like when anything big happens, whatever the stripe, you start to see videos that kind of surface online, normally on Twitter, sometimes on Instagram, and all the rest of it, of interesting things that happen within those parameters, shall we say, right? And there have been three or four different occasions during what's been going on over the last week or so where I've seen a video and go, "Boy, I mean, that's brilliant, man." And I've shared it and I've really enjoyed it. And what happens invariably a week or so on is that it then turns out that that video or a selection of those videos weren't actually what they purported to be. And the whole thing is a bit of a letdown. Now, I think long term, that's really detrimental to my state of mind. Because I want to believe things are funny. And say again.
Yeah, that's the real crime here.
No, it's not. But it's
funny bone.
But is there a semi-serious kernel in there, Pete? And what I mean by that is, does it serve to undermine the very fabric of trust in the world around us? Because we're experiencing so many things online, which later turn out to not be true. It feels a bit like the world is changing in quite a big way when it comes to confidence in what you're seeing with your own eyes or what you think you're seeing.
Yes. But I guess hasn't that always been the case? Anybody always seeks to kind of influence one's opinion and the opinion of the sleepy populace with seditious literature and literature that's made you feel a certain way. You're talking about a particular video of a guy getting arrested, and the tagline was, "Oh, this guy's getting arrested, but what the police don't know, he's actually an FBI agent, and the police." This guy is going, you two police guys are knuckleheads, you're all idiots, you're stupid idiots. And for whatever reason, they don't end up arresting him. They put him in cuffs. They look in his wallet, find out that he's either not the person they're looking for or that he's somehow important to their life. And they unarrest him. They undo his handcuffs. And that was sold as being, he's an FBI agent. I can't believe the police were so stupid to arrest an FBI agent because this guy is going crazy. With full right, obviously. About 10 seconds later, like you send me that and I'm like, that is delicious. What a delicious, you know, these policemen who are not covering themselves in any kind of fucking glory from the West to the East Coast over the past few weeks, the past few days as well. They are in a situation where they fucked up, they're idiots and it's delicious. And then you find out that wasn't actually the case. It's like there was a guy who was riding around Chicago on a horse.
Yes, I'm talking about the horse. The one I'm talking about is the horse. Get to the good stuff.
Oh, okay. All right, okay, the horse. There's a guy who's whipping it around Chicago on a horse, and the
bareback.
Title is...
Bareback, by the way.
Bareback, yeah, but well, look, he's a friend of horses. And because he's in, and because, obviously, the inner, inbuilt, white guy racism we've got, we don't see a lot of black people on horses. It's just one of those things. We just don't see it because it's just not a thing that appears in our media. And so the title that someone's given it is this guy, stole a police horse. And it's like, oh, that's brilliant. He stole a police horse. And then about 3 seconds later, you find out that this guy is famous in the Chicago area for being the Chicago horse guy. And he just rides around town, showing off his horses and helping.
Yeah, and the disappointing thing, Pete, is that I feel like I kind of considered myself someone who, that if there was a Chicago horse guy who was famous, that I would know about it. And I think I've let myself down.
Yeah, I think he was... I'm sure there was a advert with him on.
Like, no, there was for Guinness, but it was based in Compton.
Oh, is that Compton? Right, okay.
Los Angeles. So it might even be the same thing, yeah.
Mm. But either way, he's like a guy who's known to the Chicago populace. But we should know. Guys, I'm just saying, listeners to the Luke and Pete Show, if there is a Chicago horseman, we need to hear more about him.
Yeah, we need to absolutely know more about him. The listeners not told us about that?
I know, furious, absolutely furious. But it is we are in a situation where I retweeted a video of some guys downtown in, I think it might even have been Chicago, maybe not have been, may have been Atlanta actually. They look quite similar near the court buildings, and there was just like this stack of bricks that builders had allegedly just left behind. You know, a town centre, sometimes there's works going on, but these bricks weren't near any kind of works, like the cobblestones that were just left around. Ooh. Weren't near any kind of works. And
put your tinfoil hat on, mate.
I'm just saying, who's putting them bricks there? So I retweeted that going, that's interesting. That's interesting. But then I didn't realise that the person who tweeted that originally was a Republican senator, and she was all fucking, this is a George Soros, rabble rouser kind of shit. And I was like, and all the replies were like, yep, George Soros, the left-wing conspiracy to start a communist revolution and stuff. And I accidentally retweeted it. And I was like, oh my God, that needs to come down immediately. Things are happening fast. Things are visceral. Things are interesting. Things are scary. It's all... you've got to have your bullshit monitor fucking turned up to a million, haven't you? You've got to have your bullshit theremin turned up to a billion.
What Pete's trying to say to everyone, to those listening, is to turn the frickin' frog gay. That's what he's saying. Get your bullshit theremins out and make sure you use them carefully, because it's very, very important to do so. Pete, from that kind of news to a slightly, news of a different flavour, if I may, one of my favourite stories about life under lockdown manifested itself, I think, late last week. And it was in France. So did you see this about the two French brothers?
I didn't know.
Okay, so this French family had two boys. I think they might be twins. I think they're around 10 years old. They might be twins, or they're just very close in age. Anyway, they're just brothers and pals and all that good stuff. And when lockdown was going to happen, this French family... they drove from Paris to a small little village or little kind of holiday home type thing. I think it might have been their grandmother's home, and they decided they were going to lock down there. And in the settling in of going to this new place, the two kids asked their dad if they could build a den kind of thing in the garden. So dad said, yeah, no problem. Of course you can. And they said, well, what should we use, dad? And he said, well, go into the room up, go into one of the bedrooms or whatever, find some of your gran's sheets from the bed and use the sheets, and you can spread those out and make a big kind of den in the garden using them. So they did that. They brought the sheets down, and the sheets were really heavy, right? And cut a long story short, when they unfurled the sheets, two things dropped out of the sheets, and they turned out to be gold bars worth £35,000 each.
Holy moly, where did they come from?
They found 70 grand's worth of gold that was purchased by the grandmother in 1967. Proof of purchase still intact. No one even knew they had them.
Lovely. It's not even... I was worrying that it was going to be like Natty Gold or something like that. I thought it was going to be something problematic. But no, there's something beautiful. The grandma of the piece bought some old gold.
Yeah, and Pete, and
it was new gold back in the day.
And one of the things that sort of typifies your life is that everything you kind of enjoy or look at or cover, that you have to double check that you're not doing something offensive at some point. Is that fair?
Yep, that's fair. And I think that's the right way to be.
Although it is crippling.
Do you not,
it's the right way to
do you
be.
Not think it is crippling? I mean, in New York City, you're watching a New York City police, a member of the police, throwing up a white power sign. Is he thinking in his head, is this offensive? I don't think so. And he's getting filmed doing that. So,
no, but there is a scale.
Who knows who's watching me? There is a scale. Yeah. I'm not saying I'm never going to get to that point. I'm not saying that I would do that. I'm just saying that I'm seeing a lot of images of a lot of white men doing some pretty fucking awful things pretty much constantly. And they don't seem to care
whether
they're being filmed or not. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, because I'm not being funny, but Marcus and Jim aren't here to defend themselves, mate. So you're out of order there. All I'm saying is, Pete, there's a scale in there. So
there's a bit of a.
I think it's very revealing, Pete Donson, that if you that what you're intimating is that if you went to one of your grandparents' houses or whatever, one of their old houses, and you were cleaning it out or whatever,
I would accuse them of being Nazi.
And you saw two bits of gold that were worth 70 grand, your first thing would be like, "Well, that's probably Nazi gold. I can't use that.
Not touching it. Yeah, exactly.
You get my fingerprints off it.
Be aware. Be aware.
Life be hyper
important.
Aware.
Politics is important. Be hyper aware. Luke, did you see that Robin's, I'm going to use the term that, I don't know who actually coined this, but sad banger, Dancing on My Own, Robin's 2010 track.
Oh, I love Robin.
Is now 10 years young. 10 years old, that track.
I like that tune. It wouldn't be my favourite of hers. I went through a phase of listening to quite a lot of Robin.
Tell your boyfriend, that one.
No, my favorite record is probably Body Talk Part 2, which I don't think that song you're talking about there. Yeah, the one you're talking about is on Body Talk Part 1. Body Talk Part 2's got In My Eyes, Include Me Out. It's got a tune with Snoop Dogg on it as well. I think Robin's absolutely wicked. And the journey she's had as a songwriter is brilliant, because she started off as this quite schmaltzy, straight kind of love song writing pop artist. And she just got like slowly more and more fucking badass as she went along. And now she's really interesting. Mm. Do you remember? She did that song Show Me Love right at the start of her career, which basically, to put it in perspective, that song Show Me Love, which came out years and years ago, might even be like late 90s when she was very young, that was played on the supermarket radio that I worked at. It was so kind of safe and dull, and it's fine. It's a perfectly fine song. I don't mind it, but like the stuff she does now, having said that, those body talk records are like 10 years old now, but the stuff she's done more recently is wicked, man. She did that song Konnichiwa Bitches as well, which is one of the best pop songs ever, in my opinion.
What happened to Alpha Beat? That's my question.
That is a very pertinent question, chiefly because that song Fascination is one of the best one-hit wonders ever. I was absolutely convinced they were going to follow up. Okay. Scandinavian pop of that quality, there's no way they've not got more in their locker. Turns out they didn't.
No, the cupboard was bare. They had so many. When I see like one-hit wonders who have so many extraneous members, I always worry. It's like Brand Van 3000, the French-Canadian rockers.
I like that song as well, by the way.
Well, Drinking in L.A.
Yeah.
Did you ever listen to the debut album Glee?
No, I never heard of it.
It does not stand up to, 10, 15 years later. No. I used to love this album when I was a kid. I used to love it. It was my favourite bloody album. And I think I was the only person who bloody bought it. And then I listened to it back and I was like, wow, this is obscenely bad. One of the worst covers of Come On, Feel the Noise you've ever heard in your life. But Robin, apparently Dancing on My Own, is not about love. It's not about this, not about that. It's basically, apparently, she reckons, I don't buy this for a second personally, but it is her love letter to the weather in Stockholm. Come on now. Really?
But I think if I was an artist, I would make up loads of different stories about what different songs are around. Like Bob Dylan's done that his whole career, basically. Speaking of Alpha Beat, I just looked them up because it's the first time I've thought about them probably since the last time you mentioned them to me. They broke up in 2013, but they reformed late last year. So maybe there will be more to come from them. But you're absolutely right. they've got six members. I mean, that's a lot of members for a pop band.
Yeah, I worry about them.
Yeah, I think I'm rightly so, mate. But speaking of songs that don't quite mean what you think they mean, we will do some inappropriate song stuff as part of our email section after the break, because that came up last week and we want to proceed with it this.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
That is an ad break, and if it isn't, why is it not? Why does everyone say that it is? Yeah. Back with Luke Pitt Show, me, Pete Donaldson, and Luke Moore. If you want to get in touch with the show, how can they get in touch with the show? And by they, I mean the people with hands and fingers and eyes and email addresses.
Hello@lukeandpeteshow.com. But what I would say is, if you don't have all the compliment, full complement of bodily functions, you're still welcome to email in. There's no
get
judgment
involved.
Here.
Ask someone to write a letter. We should get a postal kind of PO box so people can send us stuff.
But you're the kind of person who gets it. You're the kind of person who gets kind of anxious about receiving mail, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've worked in radio longer than you have, and I've eaten my fair share of poisoned donuts. When you're very as universally good. Hated as I am, so you know you've got to be careful. That's all I'm saying.
I received a package in the mail today, and it was a book sent to me by my wife's uncle about something I'm interested in. So that was a very nice surprise, and it came beautifully wrapped in a little bit of wrapping paper and a ribbon. It was a very, very nice surprise, actually.
Ah, beautiful.
You know what you're thinking, though, Pete? If you get a package and it's that heavy, you think, oh, that better not be a bill because I'm in big trouble if it is. And it turns out to be 600 pages of something interesting
facts.
Instead.
Do you ever, you're being incredibly coquettish about this, the subject of this book. I'm a little bit worried. Do I need to call somebody? Is this Nazi gold? Is it about Nazi gold? what was I going to say? I think that, do you ever get, is there ever a time in your life, like older listeners, I'm talking like people who are like plus 50, 60, if there are anybody listening. I think we proved that there were people over 50 listening. Do you ever get to a point in your life where if you get a letter from like HMRC or some kind of bank is there ever a part of you that your stomach that rolls over, like that doesn't roll over? Because mine, like, whenever I get an official letter from anyone, I'm a little bit, oh, I don't know what this is.
And yeah, but it's interesting. It speaks to how good. But it speaks to the type of personality you are, I think, because it's interesting you say that. I totally get why you say that. But for me, you know the kind of person I am. I'm quite combative and quite sort of forthright. I'm not saying that is a good thing or a bad thing. It's just how I am. So when I see a letter and it's got HMRC on it, I just think, right, come on then, you fucking wanker, let's have it. And I get straight in there. I almost get like quite angry about it. I'm not nervous about it. Like, it's like if I got an email through that I knew I was expecting a certain amount of news and it was like a binary thing, it'd be good news or bad news, I just want to get straight to it. I could never, ever, ever be one of those people who takes that letter and puts it like in the cupboard for a week while I build myself up to open it. I am straight in there. I'm like a greyhound, mate. So for me, I never have that feeling. I kind of have an angry feeling, and then obviously I get angrier or happier depending on how it goes.
Taking the bull by the horns. Mm. You have just won $50 in the sweepstake. You're like, yes, and then you realise it's all a scam.
Yeah. But sometimes the HMRC thing comes in and it's like genuinely very good news, like a big rebate or something.
I've never had that. I've never had good news from them. I mean, I've never had bad news from them, to be honest. Please don't audit me. to Austin Sweeney on the emails. As we said before, if you want to get to the show, hello at lukepeachshow.com. Austin Sweeney has got in touch. Hi, guys. Hope you're doing well and staying safe. We are, and I hope you are too, Austin. As an add-on to the last episode, talking about Jurassic Park and the corresponding CGI chat. Oh, steady. I'm a student learning compositing, which, as Pete said, is taking the CG objects or characters, taking the lighting and the original footage and trying to make it all fit seamlessly. Now, there are hundreds of thousands of artists more skillful and more experienced than myself, but from the people I've talked to and the studios I've had the opportunity to visit, the number one thing is the client, aka the director, has the final say on a shot. I heard one story where the client wasn't a fan of the original shot the artist put up and was asked to be redone. They wanted to change, I believe, the colour of a lens flare or something smallish like that. The artist did 93 different versions. The 93rd wasn't liked, so they just renamed the original they sent in, and of course they loved it. That's a classic bit of like design kind of story, isn't it? Yeah, you go back to the original design and you've talked it through with them, and then they realize that the first one that they saw is the one that they love. This is just one of many stories I've been told before, even setting foot in the industry, about what to expect. A good example as to why the artists who work on Cats or Justice League or Sonic, who have had people trash their effects, can be really upset by. At the end of the day, the artists themselves don't have a say in the final look. I can't wait to get in the industry. I mean, I don't know why, Austin, on that. it sounds satisfying, and then ultimately not very satisfying. And maybe work on a movie or have a shot that you guys will enjoy. Austin, Squamish, BC Canada, and he's also appended his Vimeo showreel as well. So maybe
very nice.
In a bit.
I feel like this has maybe been a bit old fashioned, but I feel like you are going to have to stand by your work even if you don't like the criticism you get. I mean, we have to do that, right, Pete?
Yeah, but we are a lot less talented than people who can composite
speak for
millions
yourself.
Of polygons of it's polygons of data. And
but I do think that, I mean, I know nothing about the film industry, so I'm probably talking absolute bullshit here. But in all the work I've done in the past, like, and this might sound a bit rich, Pete, from where you're sitting, I think I've learned that the best things are collaborative, right? So if you're doing a radio show and you've got a podcast and you've got a producer who likes an idea and you don't like the idea, you have to talk it through. And it must be the same thing in other creative industries. Like, this is why I like this shot. And the director should be like taking on board people's inputs before making the final decision, surely.
Yeah, but do you not think that directors in particular are these kind of like virtuoso kind of like invariably men who just don't want to be told that they're wrong.
So do you remember when Christian Bale went mental at McGee about the director of photography on that Terminator film? McGee, are you going to deal with this prick?
Blah, blah, blah. Who
you
was
and me
McGee
are done.
In that situation?
Hey?
Who was the McGee in that particular
McGee
situation?
Is the name of a director. He goes by the name McGee.
McGee?
Yeah.
I wouldn't work with that director. I wouldn't trust him to employ the right lighting technicians.
His name is Joseph McGinty, but he goes by the name. Yeah, I mean, you could probably tell the kind of guy he is by the name that he's. And to be fair, let's be absolutely clear on this. You can probably imagine the kind of guy he is by the films he makes, which all look like they might be quite bad. So, but then he is working with Christian Bale. But Christian Bale got out of that, didn't he, by saying that he was actually in character at the time, which is a lovely get out, by the way.
That is a bit of a get out, isn't it? That's
But yeah, I'm pretty sure some other people argued that that the lighting guy shouldn't have been adjusting the lights in the middle of like a rehearsal for a shot or something. I mean, I don't know.
No,
but
no.
It was fun. It was genuinely very entertaining. What about this email, Peter, from on the subject of inappropriate songs, something we discovered a week or so ago, and people are emailing in now with their own suggestions for inappropriate songs. This is after Turning Japanese by The Vapors, a song about masturbation, is always used to refer to the beautiful and wonderful country of Japan. Williams emailed in saying, here's a well-known inappropriate song for you. Foster the People's Pumped Up Kicks. Remember that, Pete?
Yes, it was a film. It was a song that on Absolute Radio we had to not play with alarming frequency because of the contents and reasonings of why the song exists.
Yeah, so it's about a kid shooting up a school, basically. Doesn't mean it stopped O2 using it for its priority moments advertising campaign, though. So
it's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but pop music can be important, but it doesn't necessarily need to be. It does limit its application in different places.
But the thing about that is, right? You are working in the marketing department, and you're a decision maker, so you're probably quite high up the food chain, and it's a big company. O2's marketing generally is pretty prominent, right? Everyone can picture it. Everyone knows what it is. And you're selecting a song. It's probably been selected by some kind of agency. You and I, Pete, both know the amount of people that kind of insert themselves into processes when it comes to advertising and marketing. Not one of them has listened to the lyrics of a song and said, do you know what? We probably shouldn't use it. Because as soon as it's been unveiled what it's about, no one's going to want it. It's just mad. It's baffling.
No.
It's absolutely baffling.
But I like to think that it's this situation. I am the director of a company, of the creative agency, and I go, I like this song. Let's use this song. And
yeah.
Then the people go, well, we can't use that song because it's about this. And the director goes, did you hear what I said the first time? The song that's used. And that's how that particular situation.
Well, that's definitely my experience of working with you, Pete.
Yeah, exactly. I want what I want, and I will get what I get. I want my Nazi gold. Give me my Nazi gold.
Yeah, I want to get a follow up on that gold story.
Yeah, let's figure out what the hell's going on there.
Turns out they spent it all on Skittles.
Oh, lovely old job. We managed to pass through three emails. I think that's possibly a record of the modern Luke and Pete Shaw era.
Yeah, it probably is, actually.
If you want to get
in
touch with the Luke and Pete Shaw, hello at Luke and Pete Shaw is the way to do it. Thank you to everyone who got in touch this week via emails, Twitter, sometimes just people just shouting it to me in the street. Gooey Duck, the G-E-O-D-U-C-K, the Gooey Duck is the animal that I was referring to last week on the Luke and Pete Shaw. The thing is, I was referring to a show previously that I actually named the gooey duck, the geoduck, in. So I already name checked it.
Right, so but you just name checked it wrong.
Emailed in. No, I believe I name checked it correctly. I might have not pronounced it correctly, but those guys didn't hear that. They just heard the last one. So
Pete, we should also say thank you very much to everyone. And there has been a lot of people who've got in touch through all those different mediums or media announcing the release of a bottle of Pinot Noir celebrating the Democracy Manifest guy called Get Your Hands Off My Pinot. We acknowledge it. We thank you very much for bringing it to our attention.
Yes,
there's not really anything to say about it, but thank you very much for bringing it to our attention. I like the other meme, which I think we mentioned last week, about what is the charge, a succulent drive to Barnard Castle or whatever it was, which I enjoyed as well. So it's the gift that keeps on giving. Julian Assange there.
It really is.
But that's enough time for today, isn't it, Peter? We'll come back on Thursday, will we?
We're back on Thursday, where I'll be serenading everyone with a wonderful rendition of Pete and his theremin.
And I'll try and find the car horn guy to treat people to as well. But thank you very much indeed for listening. Thanks for getting in touch. If you'd like to get in touch with us in the future about any subject we've talked about today, or indeed any other subject you think would be worthy of discussion, it's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com, and we are @lukeandpeteshow on Twitter. Thank you very much indeed for your company, as ever, Mr. Pete Johnson.
Farewell.
And it's goodbye from me as well.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.